All right, you've got it on KHUM. We're doing our one-on-one candidate interviews. A little earlier today, we talked with Chris Kerrigan, running for 4th District Supervisor, and we've got our first district attorney candidate in with us right now, Arnie Klein. Good morning.
Good morning, Cliff. Thanks for having me here, and I would like to thank your viewers for letting me state my message, and hopefully it's heard.
Fantastic. Well, first things first, let's get to know who you are. Give us a little bit of background on who Arnie Klein is.
All right. My life is pretty much an open book. You can go on the web or on the internet and go to votearnieklein.org. And what that is, it will tell you all about me. It's kind of boring talking about myself,
but
I'll do it real quick. Give you a real quick run through. I've been in the criminal arena for 40 years now. Started as a DA for 9 years in L.A. County. First sexual assault prosecutor they had down there. Both inside and outside the courtroom, I had to change the environment and the approach. I taught first-year medical students at UCLA rape trauma syndrome, and I started outreach programs. In the day, if a woman complained of rape, a judge could order her to go see a psychologist or psychiatrist to see if she was balanced. Defense attorneys could get all in her face about any man she'd ever been with, what she was wearing that night. Defense attorney would hold a needle in front of a jury and say, look, you move that needle, you can't thread it. And then I would get up and I'd say, well, if you hold a gun to that needle, it won't move. And so I helped change the culture. I never lost a rape case in my 5 years there. I did work in Compton, California, where we led the nation in per capita murder cases back then. After 9 years at the DA's office in L.A., I moved to Century City and opened up my own practice. I did a case of import called the Twilight Zone Trial. It was based on the Twilight Zone movie, where Vic Morrell and two children were killed when a helicopter came out of the sky and suddenly put an end to their life in a very tragic way. I represented the head special effects coordinator in that case, and we were fortunate enough to win. I've done a lot of little cases, a lot of big cases. I kind of like am the Johnny Appleseed of law. I've moved around quite a bit. After L.A., I went to Mexico for a year, then San Diego for a year, ended up in a place called Tulare County. Didn't even know it existed. It's between Fresno and Bakersfield. So like 110, 115 every day. And the sky is brown. You know, you look out here, it's so beautiful. You got blue sky, right, and green. You go to Tulare County and it's brown. What they had me doing there? Well, I was a major narcotics prosecutor. I went after what we called white dope, methamphetamine, heroin. I wasn't supposed to go out in the field because it's very dangerous to make methamphetamine. It can blow up or the fumes can incapacitate you for life. But it's my nature. I went out there anyway. And when we caught these people, we prosecuted them the fullest extent of the law. While in Tulare County also, it was just like in the movies on the rollout murder team. I did all the gang murders there for quite a while, and they had the Norteños and the Serenos, and the Serenos would kill a Norteño. I'd go out there at 3 in the morning, and just like, hey, Joe, what do you got? Well, student's over there, the perp is over there in the gas station, let's go talk to him. Then the next week it would be the opposite gang. That went on for about 3-4 years, and they would love me because I was very, very good at what I did. I never lost one. But
so when did you come here to Humboldt County?
I'm
going to
explain.
Okay.
It's that red balloon. It's going to bounce here. I promise you.
It's bouncing here. Okay.
Well, after about 5 years, I wore out my welcome there in gangland. And the rumor was they put out a contract on me. I moved to Monterey. Oh, Monterey was gorgeous. It was really nice. But the court system is in Salinas, where it's 110 degrees again. A lot of gang murders, a lot of everything. It wasn't a very good fit. It's just like some marriages. It just didn't work out. And so I moved down the American way, and I came up here to Humboldt County. I came in here in July of 2006. I saw Paul make what I consider his only wise decision I've ever seen him make is when he hired me. I did about 17 trials here, never lost any. I enjoyed my work. They went to grant positions. They put me in a grant called auto insurance fraud, and I looked closely at the grant. They were sending me to Del Norte and Trinity, and turns out the only money for that grant went to the DA investigator, not the DA. So we were using taxpayers' money to send what low staff we have here, staffing issues, outside just so the DA investigator could get his money. And I went to the powers that be and I said, how can we justify this? They said, just do it. You know, it doesn't matter where you are. You're getting paid. And I resigned 2 weeks later. So that's my run, the short run, 40 years, the criminal arena, 20 years on each side. Big cases, little cases, murder, rape, robbery, trespass. You name it, I've done it.
Thank you for the history and the background. So now, of course, you're running for district attorney.
Yes.
If elected, what are your top priorities as DA?
You know, everybody gets that asked that question when they're running, don't they? It's top priorities is to reinstill a sense of confidence in our community. The first thing I would tackle is public safety. That comes with a caveat. When Paul took over, there were something like 18 or 19 prosecutors. They went all the way down to 8. Anybody with experience has left. That means that you can only go after a limited amount of crimes. So you have to do what I call legal triage. As a medic, and what they train you as a medic at Fort Sam Houston is, there are people that are going to die. You can't save them. Put them in the corner. There are people who can wait before they get help. You put them in the other corner. And then there are people who need it immediately. Well, from what I've seen at the courthouse, there's lots of cases that need immediate work. And with a limited base of experienced prosecutors, what you should go after are the what I call the public safety crimes, murder, rape, robbery, kidnap, burglary, things of that nature. I know from talking to a lot of folk here in Humboldt County, that they're apprehensive, they're frightened to leave their home. One is because someone's going to break into their home, or two is they're going to be accosted on the street. The same about their vehicles. That's what I would like to correct. And the way you do that, by the way, is I have 3 or 4 people who have experience, who have signed on the dotted line to come in and work for us here in Humboldt County. I know why I'm running, and here's why I'm running, because here's what I saw happen. I saw in the middle of a murder case, was they're picking a jury, Paul fire the prosecutor because he wanted more DA investigator help. And Paul said, I take that as your resignation. Paul went down there, took over the case. The case hung, and you know what the jury said about Paul? They said he was the most inept, most unprepared, most unprofessional prosecutor they'd ever seen. That really got my eyes really big because I could see the thing was falling apart. The wheels were coming off. I saw one of the candidates with 4.5 years experience. There was this lady driving down Broadway. She's OR on her own recognizance, right, for a DUI, driving under the influence. Coursing through her blood is twice the limit of alcohol and other drugs. She's going 91 miles per hour, and she's red-lighted. There's cars following her. She crossed the double red line and tragically killed a mother and mangled a husband and destroyed a family. And you know what that candidate gave that case away for? A manslaughter. And then to compound her ignorance, the next day in the time standard, he said, I would have had to wake up and show she intended to kill somebody that morning. I would have had to show that the defendant woke up and intended to kill somebody that morning. Well, the cases are legion. You don't have to prove that. So things of that nature really caught my attention. So I decided we deserve better. All the special interests are being represented. That's why I've switched my slogan now to take back our community. I want people to feel a sense of safety, and I want them to know we have the tip of the sword for a DA's office where we bring people in and we're going to mentor them.
So with that said, what would you do differently from the current administration in terms of policy and operation?
All right. Those are very important questions. And let me start out, because I have to have you a little bit of history so you know what I'm talking about. Paul got in there. He's a good man, a good husband, a good father, a big heart. But he had never had any prosecutorial experience. He relied on the wrong people. And he crashed and burned. He had very, very bad relationships with all the police agencies in Humboldt County. So what he did is he created his own police department. He had like 4 or 5 DA investigators. He made like now there's 12. There are more DA investigators than there are DAs. Traditionally, it's a ratio of four or five DAs and one investigator. It's just like Alice in Wonderland. It's all upside down. And you know what he did with those investigators? He made them like a SWAT team, and he made them into a seizure team. They'd get search warrants, they'd go out, and they'd go for the big marijuana grows. And if they didn't come back with money, they thought it was a failure because they turned that into a cash cow. So now they're collecting all this money, and you know, they didn't use that money to put back in the land and to clean up the land from the diesel spills and the changing of the water flows. What they did is they bought AR-15s, enough to invade Syria. Now, a DA's office, which was once called DA Investigators, it was called the Department. Now, they call themselves a Bureau. As a matter of fact, you know what they spent the money on? There's a secret dish on top of the courthouse where the chief investigator would get on in the morning and speak to cops in London and ask them about the weather. That's how they spent your tax-earned dollars and the forfeiture money. What I would do differently is I'd use those DA investigators in a traditional way. From the moment a case came in, they would be assigned a DA. That DA and the investigator would work together as a team. They'd work up the case. They'd go to court together, and they would pursue justice in an ethical way. And that means secure a conviction. That's not so hard. Here's another thing I would do differently. If you're understaffed, why don't you expand the tribal council's jurisdiction? I already met with one of the tribal judges over there in Hoopa. He's all for it. He said you'd have to send some DAs up here a couple times a week. I said, no, I wouldn't. You already have attorneys on your council, right? Yeah. Bring them in. I'll deputize them. You take care of the problems that exist in your community. If somebody's a 647F, a drunk in public, or a 415 making noise in public, you don't have to send them down to Eureka. Eureka's not the mecca of justice. Do things in Hoopa. Just think of all the things you're going to say. The defendant doesn't have to come. The victims don't have to come. The witnesses don't have to come. And the cops can stay up there and do their job. That's one thing I'd like to do. I have an environmental organization lined up where there's federal money. I've met with these people, and the first thing I want to do is kind of like start restoring our land, which has been kind of desecrated over the last 34 years due to bad habits. And what I'm going to promote is responsible use of the land and do away with trespass grows and public land grows. But if a grower's minding his own business and they're growing like they have for generations and they're taking care of the land, then they're going to be my lowest priority. And you know what else? I know because I have a lot of friends who are defense attorneys. I was one myself once. Matter of fact, some of my best friends are defense attorneys. Well, all right, so here's how that works. You're a grower. Knock on the door. Three men in masks with a shotgun. They hold the shotgun to your wife's head. They throw your kids in the closet. They tie you up. They demand your money. They maybe molest some members of your family. And then they just kind of leave. Do the growers report that crime? Hell no. You know why? Because right now we're so dumb in that office that we prosecute the growers rather than going after the crimes of violence. That to me is the height of stupidity. And then I could go on and on and on and on. But go ahead, Cliff. Tell me. Ask me some more.
Okay.
I enjoy this, by the way.
I can tell. Yeah. And so what is your view on plea bargains?
All right. Everyone's going to give you about the same statistic. 85 to 95% of all cases are plea bargain. Why? We don't have enough lawyers, and we don't have enough courts. We don't have enough court interpreters. We don't have enough clerks. We couldn't do it. The whole system would collapse. There have been books written where the United States comes to its knees because one public defender in Chicago refused to plea bargain. Then the whole system went belly up, and then it's all about gangs controlling the United States. It's a very famous theme. But here's what you do. Like that legal triage we were talking about? When you get a case, remember that chef out there in Arcata? He was walking home. He was accosted by three people, stabbed in the heart. They tried to give that case away for 2 years. 2 years, and the candidate who prosecuted that put on her Facebook that it was just a horrible, tragic accident and that the guy was belligerent, the victim, and he fell on the knife. Well, it turns out, if you look at the autopsy report, you'll see he couldn't just fall. He's got a defensive wound on his left hand and another knife wound on his chest, three altogether. And then if you read the defendant's statements, it isn't anything like she purported it would be. You don't give a murder case away for 2 years. One, it doesn't instill a sense of justice in the community. And two, it robs the community of having their voice heard and hearing the facts of the case. There wasn't even a prelim. If you start dealing away these high impact crimes, then no one's going to know what's happened. And this is how I see it. The DA's office has circled their wagon to protect themselves, not the people. When I walked into a courtroom, I'd go, Arnold Lewis Klein for the people. It didn't say for the DA's office, for Arcata PD or Eureka PD. I said for the people. Because I'm just like you. I'm a grassroots candidate, and I represent the people. So therefore, I want the people to get the best representation as possible, and I want the people to know what's going on. That's called transparency.
I hate to say it, but we are out of time already. So I'll give you the last 15 seconds for a quick closing statement.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
I'll be darned. Well, thank you so much for having me. My closing statement is, make sure on Election Day you vote. It will determine the next direction of law enforcement in Humboldt County. And when you're in there, remember my name and vote for me. Thanks.
All righty. Arnie Klein, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us today.